Wat hè? Wat? Kom maar eens naar hier dan. Ah, cool. Hop. Gabila kaya idira itangiran. Au ngayare. E karauan nagi pepere ngagi ai. Gabila kaya idira itangiran. Au ngayare. E karauan nagi.
We're just slightly above the equator. If you drew a straight line on a map, south from Hawaii, 1,000 miles, you'd finally hit this tiny group of islands, the Line Islands. Christmas, Fanning, Washington, Kiramas, Tabuera, Treina. I'm at sea, on an old steel cargo ship fitted with sails to catch the trade winds of the equatorial Pacific. When you go to sea, if you ever do, you'll soon find out that being so long away from land, the world off the boat dissolves a bit. What's left is the sound of your own thoughts punctuated by the reality of life on the boat.
Christmas is situated 2 degrees north of the equator. Honolulu is 20 degrees north of the equator. Rarotonga is 20 degrees south of the equator. So that's basically the stretch that we're sailing. The short trip is about 2 months. The longer trip is about 4 months and takes about 7,000 nautical miles. So that means that the Kwai during 1 year, you'll be sailing a distance like the total circumference of the Earth. That's what the Kwai does. Every year we sail around the Earth.
Imagine a cargo ship, one that's designed and modified by the islanders it serves and carries. That's the Kwai. The ship turns into a village in between islands. First, the deck is covered with a waterproof tarp. Strung along the boom and tacked to the sides of a raised platform that's 10 feet wide by 30 feet long. Once that's done, the islanders come aboard, brought over to the ship in aluminum skiffs. Grandmothers, young mothers, fathers with newborn babies. A gang of brave teenage boys traveling alone, hoping to try their luck in the copra business that's now booming in Treina.
We were 4 years fixing her up before we came out to the Pacific. And right away it was clear that it was a winter, because Kiribati was, you know, not supplied. The Line Islands were not supplied. There was no ship going there from Hawaii. There was only the plane. And they were not very well supplied by Tarawa, their capital, which is almost twice as far as Hawaii is.
And so what was she in her past life?
Well, she was built as a fishing boat, as a drift net fisherman. That they set their drift net off the side of the boat, and, you know, they stay out for months because they were not freezer in those days. It was salt fish. And it was, that was a big trade in Europe. That was, you know, the first salt fish of the season would always come in and be presented to the Queen in Holland, you know, and it was so she was built for that in 1950. But then in the 60s, she was bought and went to Norway and converted to cargo. And then her last trade, as a lot of these boats would, was the asphalt. They load them up with hot asphalt and drive to somewhere and get it out quickly to pave a road or make a parking lot or whatever they do.
And so where did you bring her from?
We bought her in Norway.
Okay.
She was abandoned. She'd been burned for insurance and, you know, just going to the scrapyard.
It's a long journey to get from one island to the other. So the islanders have brought everything they need for the 2 days ahead. Baby diapers, dishes, clothes, coconuts, MP3 players, breadfruit. Carrying cargo south from Honolulu for sale to the islanders, who in turn load copra, made from coconut meat, and seaweed to sell back in Honolulu to make money to buy the things that the Kauai brings. The islanders themselves have devised what this ship is by using it over time.
Why are you going to Fanning?
Well, to work.
To work? What kind of work are you doing?
Seaweed.
Oh, okay. Like you farm the seaweed?
The ship becomes a sort of self-governing floating island. It's an organism that breathes, expanding and contracting with the waves and the wind. At night, the breath of the sleeping passengers expanding and contracting, adding to its capacious supply of air. I wake up at 5 and look out over the passengers sleeping next to me. I climb down onto the deck, looking out over the ocean. The new moon sky is covered in stars. The morning light exposes the deck covered in layers, first of sleeping mats, then of pillows and lava lavas, then of babies of all sizes and dimensions, and their mothers, some nursing, some sleeping. 5 tropic birds flew by while I was brushing my teeth just now. I guess we're getting close to land. Now we're at Washington Island, Terena. The unloading of the cargo takes a full 6 hours. Boxes of noodles, bags of flour, rice, everything else shipped off the boat in a parade of 4 aluminum dinghies that make the trip to shore through this narrow channel that had been blasted through the coral at some point and into which the waves now pound the shore unremittingly. But I'm told, actually, this is a calm day and a good one for arriving at Washington. After landing on Washington, a guy named Kes pulls up to the dock driving an old tractor. He offers me a ride, so I climb in the back. Well, me and his brother, and a woman and her 2 teenage sons, and all of their belongings, plus a few bags of copra. Kes is the one I was told to talk to find out more about life on the island, because he's also a journalist, and also a mechanic, and he's also the island radio operator.
So, is that all you can receive right now?
Right now, yeah, maybe. Yeah. We'll try it. We'll try the other radio if we can.
Okay.
But there's reception, radio reception from this place in the evening and early in the morning.
Yeah.
At the turn, 21 hours, 54 minutes, coordinated universal time.
I'm 4 minutes short.
These islands are in the midst of the constantly moving sea, under constantly changing clouds and wind. Even time is constantly changing. The official dateline runs this place through the middle. You never know. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? I'm 20 years old, or 22, or 23.
Most of the things you would see, you know, every home come from the Kauai, you know. And the Kauai makes around maybe three trips a year. It gives us an opportunity for
getting more stuff. What we needed in terms of cargo, like rice, sugar, flour, you know, which we are most depending on. I mean, without the rice and stuff, you know. You see, my grandson is having a plate of rice, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's always nice to think that we only live on fish and coconuts, you know. When you're tired of eating fish and coconut, you eat coconut and fish. You know? That's what they think, you know, which is true. But that's not all we eat out on here in the island. We have a lot of food, like pumpkin, pawpaw, you know.
One, two, go! One, two, go! One, two, go! One, two, go!
Now the aluminum dinghies are all back on shore, and the boat's own dinghy has been hoisted up onto the deck above the wheelhouse. A crew member dives into the water to untie the mooring line, and after he's back on board, we're underway. After the last passenger is offloaded in Terena, Nate, one of the crew members, scrubs the deck clean of noodles, pee, puke, candy wrappers, extra flip-flops, the grime of 70 humans sharing space. We left Washington Island yesterday afternoon. Now it's just me and the crew for the next 1,000 miles, stretched out over many days. And there's not much need for me on the boat, an American woman with a microphone. This is a working boat. The crew are working all the time. So anyway, over here on the sidelines, I'm mostly left alone with my own thoughts and with an amazing view of the sky, the waves, the stars. But sometimes I'm interrupted by the working life of the ship when it crashes through my dreams.
Well, this is like our compass right here. It's all of these clues in the sky. It's just being able to read this compass, which is the hard part. So as we're voyaging, you can't tell longitude. You can only tell latitude. So if you were to sail, say, from Tahiti to Hawaii, you keep sailing north until you use stars like this Southern Cross that tells you you're in the latitude of Hawaii. And that's how you know how far north you are. Here down south, it's so high, and the Southern Cross never goes below the horizon. It'll just keep spinning around the south celestial pole. But if you're sailing and navigating, you have a night like this, you look for that guy in the sky, the Southern Cross. In Hawaiian, they call it neve. It's one word, neve. And if you find that guy, you'll never be lost.
I spend my time staring at the sea and the sky, and at where the sea meets the sky, and at the waves and the currents that I try to detect. It's raining now, but not much wind. Everything's settled, gray. Somehow, every 12 hours, we're surprised, every time, by the orange and pink and yellow streaking over our scene. Sunrise and sunset until they fade into the night, returning us back into the deep blue of a starry sky. What's a Hawaiian name for the Milky Way?
We call it a i'a, a fish. The name of it is fish. And so we talk about hulikai'a. We see that a lot. It means like the fish has turned. It's a reference to the Milky Way moving across the sky.
Our massive patch sails are all full. The wind is steady. But even so, the engine's still on, keeping us at an even 7 knots an hour. A calm, ruffled sea that we had for the first 2 days turns into huge, beautiful blue rollers with white caps and a southwest wind that pushes us exactly where we want to go. The boat's making over 200 miles a day now. Our only visitors are occasional red-footed boobies, lured by the bait on the fishing line, trailing behind us. They stop for a rest on the very top of the mast, but then they also fly away, and we're alone once again.
Sometimes you get a manuaku, one or two birds that fly far out, a couple of hundred miles out to sea, and they're kind of just the travelers, and I'm not sure why they do that, but they just go far by themselves, but they still have to return to land.
We're getting plenty of rain today, pouring rain. Since it's coming from the east, I have to close my east-facing cabin door. So between the pitching of the boat and the pouring rain, there's not much to do except stay here inside my cabin. We still have another full day of sailing before we're even with the island of Hawaii, the island that the Hawaiians call the Big Island. The mainsail has finally given up trying to accommodate this constant demand of the wind. It's ripped from top to bottom. The crew's defeated. They love the sails on the boat, everything it requires. Working with the wind, climbing the rigging to trim the sails in the middle of the night, all of it is what sets its boat and their work on it apart. What makes them feel authentically a part of this land of sea and sky and wind. Captain Evie sits cross-legged on the deck in the storm, barefoot, wearing only his board shorts, his long body bent against the rain, sewing the sail by hand with a needle and thread.
I think if there comes a time where you don't know what direction to head because of the clouds and the winds shifting and the swells aren't from a steady location, that they just close the sails and wait for an opportune time where they can see the sun and the stars and tell them what direction they're going. So if you find yourself in that position, we end up just closing our sails and drifting through the night until we can be sure we know what direction we're headed. Be sure the swells that we're using are still coming out of the same direction, that which we can tell from the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun.
Sunrise came up in a colorless sky. The ocean is dark, indigo blue. I had restless dreams all night. I kept dreaming someone was pounding a nail in the roof and that the roof was an inch above my head. So I ended up sleeping with my headphones on to muffle the pounding of the wheelhouse door against the hook above my head. But it's safe to complain now because sometime today we'll be there. I find myself really eager to get there. But the truth is, once it's over, it'll just be over, and I'll be back to my normal life.
Requesting permission to enter the port. I don't think we need to. As last regulation, we know that we don't need a pilot to enter.
Okay, stand by.
Okay, thank you.
Manu.
Oh,
Manu. Yeah. Una tara the green boy.
And so, about midnight, here we are in Honolulu, or at least here we are, tying up to a huge concrete parking lot. As soon as the engine's off, the kava bowl comes out. In minutes, the crew are deep into imbibing this gray, soupy painkiller.
Jericho.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
The people in Israel, they came, and the wall of Jericho was very big, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the people of Israel, they farted, and the wall fell down.
Come on, Gil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any moment when you were
were out on the Kauai when you just realized like it all clicked and it all came together?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like this magic moment when it all, when everything works together. You know? Like you just stand up on the bridge and you go, wow, this is so amazing. And all your full moon night, you got 60 passengers on the deck and they're all singing. And, you know, it's a nice calm night. Everybody's happy. It's wonderful. There's nothing like it. We do it for the love of sailing and the islands and the people. You have to make a living, and you can't dismiss that in any way. And we wouldn't want it any differently. But it's not. None of us are in this to get rich. That's not the goal. The lifestyle is the goal. The lifestyle and all the wonderful things that happen when you're doing it.
Oh,